Well, in the last episode of the Digital Convergence podcast, I mentioned that I was going to be introducing a new segment featuring a video business success coach, Mr. Chris Simmons. He is the founder of Create Insights. He also is the president and founder of a production company that's been doing video production in the Southeast, doing a lot of award-winning videos for corporate clients all throughout the Southeast region. So he has the chops. He knows the video business. In fact, I think, Chris, were you not once mentioned? I think you were in Inc. magazine at one time. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was back in, I think it was 2005. I had sort of reached a point in my business where we just had so much going on, so many, you know, clients that we were serving, and but just didn't have anything. Didn't have any cash flow. And so I just really got frustrated and decided one night, you know what, I'm doubling my rates no matter what. And I doubled the rates and then really got on a pretty quick path to growing my company by about 700% over the course of 2 years. And I started kind of sharing the story with the local chamber of commerce, and they, a writer from Inc. magazine, I guess, contacted them, or they contacted Inc. magazine because they found out, you know, that they were doing a story on price increases. And then they decided to make me part of that feature story to talk through that.
Awesome. Well, before we started this show, we were talking about some of the things we would like to do with this segment, some of the things that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about marketing, business management and planning. You mentioned pricing, so that's going to be a part of this. Contracts, what to do before, after, and during the contract process, proposals, client relationships, sales process, assets for your business, insurance, hiring help, working with teams, subcontractors, business development, showing your work, motivation and inspiration. Did I leave anything out?
No, I think we're going to cover it all.
Yeah.
And you know, yeah. And I know even with just the video professionals that I talk with on a daily basis, you know, there's even more topics that are coming out that are just very interesting things that they're dealing with in the world of social media now, and just all of these new ways of doing business that honestly is inspiring to me, because I'm trying to stay on top of how just the tried and true business strategies apply with all of this new technology. I mean, it's really, really exciting to stay on top of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly is. And it can be overwhelming to keep up with all of that, but, I guess the best way to do it is to just take little baby steps, you know, choose one thing to work on, master it, and move on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So one of the things we thought we'd talk about this week is the topic of how to grow with ratios. And when you first mentioned that, I had no clue what that meant. No clue. You know what I thought of when you mentioned that? Do you remember the old Andy Griffiths episode where Opie is talking to his daddy, and his daddy's trying to explain the concept of ratios? And of course, all Opie can think of is poor Horatio. Thought it was a little boy that was in half, you know, cut in half. Oh, well, so obviously that's not what this is about. So explain to me, what is this concept of ratios and how can we grow with them?
Well, before I get into that, interesting factoid about my life. My family's actually from Mayberry, believe it or not.
Get out of here.
No, Mount Airy, North Carolina. So that's I'm very familiar with Andy Griffith. But anyway, so the ratios concept, I mean, if you haven't gotten to this point in your business yet, you'll get to a point where there's just not any more time that you can work on producing videos, running your company. And I mean, you literally run out of time. You know, when you start your business, you've got more time than projects to work on. And then over time, that pendulum starts to shift. And then you get to a point where all you're doing is working on projects, and you literally have no time to do anything else. You don't have time to market your business, to grow your business, to really, what's most important to me is time to do things that have nothing to do with my business, you know, which mostly includes spending time with my family. And, you know, I got to that point and it's like, how do I, essentially success was killing me, you know, and the thought was, this isn't right. I mean, I'm doing very well, but I'm dying here, you know? And so I have to find a way to do better. So then of course you start thinking about hiring people or, you know, bringing in freelancers to help you. And I would always encourage people to do the freelance thing before they start hiring full timers and part timers, just until you can learn, you know, what your real needs are.
So you have just in time, well, just like there's the concept of just in time inventory, exactly. There's just in time help.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't make this up, but I refer to it as the on demand business model, you know, where it's just, you know, you're growing and shrinking based on demand. So once I decided to do that, you get into a point where it's like, okay, well, I'm going to hire a freelance editor. And because I was so busy with projects, I felt like I was constantly negotiating with these editors on what to pay them, what are their rates, what do they want to charge for this project, that project, the whole thing. And then I got into another time issue where I'm like, okay, I have editors working for me on a freelance basis, which is enabling me to do a lot more work. But the time that I bought back by having them do the editing for me, now I'm spending a huge chunk of that time just trying to negotiate the contracts for what I'm going to pay them. And the same thing for freelance shooters and graphic designers and other things. So then I thought, okay, I have to improve this process because it doesn't make any sense to just move the, I solved the problem of not having any more time because of all the work. So I hired freelancers to help me, but all I did was shift the time problem to another area of the business, which was now I'm spending all my time negotiating, figuring out what to pay these guys. So then I just started thinking, really just out of a pure necessity, a desperation, I guess, was like, you know, what if I just locked in a number that said, I'm going to pay X percent of whatever the budget is for that category in a project. And instead of asking a freelancer what they're going to charge me, I'm going to tell them what I'm willing to pay. And they can either take it or leave it. And basically, because I know and I found that there's a lot of people that are hungry for work and that do good work. And the ratios that I have selected for the different things seem to be pretty fair and competitive.
So let me try to wrap my head around this. So yeah. The ratio has to do with you're negotiating a job. Let's say it's a $2,000 job. Whatever that might be. And so the ratios is the distribution of that money as to what goes to
right. So
what expense?
So what I'll do, probably a more real, well, let's see. Let's use $5,000 as a number.
Okay.
Because if you're selling $2,000 jobs, you're probably not ready yet to bring in freelancers.
Good point.
Just
very
because it's a low price point and you can make great money doing all the work yourself on $2,000 jobs, but it's very hard to grow a business with a low price point like that. And I don't want to discourage any listeners out here to think that if you're doing that, or maybe you're not even at $2,000, that the stuff I'm talking about is over your head, because it's not. You can get there and you will get there. I mean, we all started out there. I mean, the first job I did was, you know, I think $25, you know. So it's like, you get there over time. So please don't be discouraged when we're throwing around some of these numbers. So, you know, if $5,000 represents 100% of the budget, and let's say that in the budget I had, you know, 2 days of editing, which would be maybe 16 hours. And let's say it's $1,000 a day. So $2,000 of that $5,000 is my edit budget. Okay. So what I would typically do is in that $2,000, I would then say, I'm not going to pay a freelance editor any more than 20 to 30% of that edit budget to do the work for me. So if I typically charge what seems to be working this year is basing my edit rates on $125 an hour.
Okay.
And so if I take 30% of that, that means the highest that I can offer a freelancer to help me do this work is $37.50 an hour.
Okay.
So my job as a producer, as a business owner, is to find the best talent I can get who's willing to work for that hourly rate.
So you set a budget of $2,000 for 2 days of editing. 30% is the max that you'll pay a contractor, a subcontract editor, right?
Right.
Did I get that right? Okay, right. So two times.
Which is $600.
Yeah, okay.
And so, and there's a lot of guys out there, you know, a lot of us might be listening to this going, oh my gosh, there's no way I'd do it for that amount. And then there might be other people, there's probably other people that are like, man, I'd do that every day of the week if I had the opportunity to just pull work off the shelf and do it.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, what kind of pushback would you get with something like this?
Well, I mean, I haven't to this point. I mean, there's people who are... It's interesting, you know. I wrote an article on my website a while back called the I think it was like the video production food chain, and it basically started out where you have, like, you know, the clients at the top, and then you've got the agency, then you've got the production company, and then you have, you know, the freelancers, and so basically the money trickles down, right? And there's some people out there that are freelancing and they want production company rates as a freelancer, and you can charge production company rates as a freelancer if it's the agency that's hiring you or the client that's hiring you. But if a production company is hiring you to do work, like, you can't charge the same rates they're charging, because then they're not making any money.
Right.
So it's kind of like you give up a percentage of what the revenue is the further away from the client you are in the chain.
Yes. Okay.
And so there's guys that, I mean, where I found a lot of success is in these editors who have big agency experience or big production company experience. And then now, when the economy tanked and a whole bunch of guys got laid off, now they've got these really nice edit systems sitting in the loft of their apartment, and the stuff's just sitting there collecting dust, and they want to work.
Yeah.
And at the full-time job, maybe they'd be lucky if they were making $20 an hour. And in this case, you know, I'm offering more than they would get full-time. Plus I'm offering complete flexibility other than when the deadline has to be met. So they work whenever they want. You know, and a lot of these freelance editors like to work, you know, 10 o'clock at night to 5 o'clock in the morning, which is, you know, no full-time job is going to allow you to do that.
Okay. So I went through this little mental reaction while you were describing this initially. So I think this is an important mindset thing we got to talk about just briefly. So I was looking at that and I said, there's no way I would do $37.50 an hour. But right. I'm thinking in terms of if I were the editor,
right? You know?
But we got to think in terms of, and then I had to catch myself, say, wait a minute. I'm running a business here. I'm running a business to make a profit. So I think you have to almost think in terms of that. And there's a lot of people that would be happy to work at $37.50 per hour. I mean, that's still almost twice what most people make. Doing work anyway.
Let's do a quick thing here. If it's $37.50 an hour, and let's just say 40 hours a week, which we know it's not 40, but I'm just doing the math here. And then, you know, that's $1,500 a week. If you multiply that times 50 weeks a year, you know, that's a $75,000 salary.
Yeah, that's decent.
You know, and of course, you're not going to, let's say that
realistically, they're not going to work 40 hours a week. So it'd probably be about 25, but still that's pretty good.
Right. And even if you divide that in half, that's still $37,500, which is going to be right at what a full-time job would be in this business now.
And you don't have any issues finding good editors at that rate?
No. I mean, you have to kind of test drive a couple. You know, I mean, you have some that are better, obviously, just like anything else, you have some that are better than others. You have some that are super talented, but aren't, you know, responsible or responsive. And then you have some that are much more responsive, but maybe not quite as talented in the graphics department. I mean, you know, so you just have to kind of work with people and get to a point where you're comfortable with the relationship and they're comfortable with the deal. Cause I've got, I mean, you know, when I first started my business, I started editing weddings for wedding video companies all over the country. And the most they were paying me, I mean, was like between $20 and $30 an hour. But the cool thing was that I had so many people that I was doing that work for that anytime I wanted to work, I just went downstairs into my home office, pulled a project off the shelf, opened the FedEx box and made $25 an hour as long as I wanted to work.
Got it.
And then when I wanted to take a break, I just, you know, went upstairs and did whatever I wanted to do. And that's kind of what introduced me to this whole freelance gig. And it was like, man, this is a pretty nice gig. But then, of course, my career aspirations started growing and I wanted to be a full-blown production company. You know, and then, of course, you have all the overhead associated with that, which is why the rates are typically higher, you know, when it's a production company charging $125 an hour. There's a lot more expenses that go into what comes out of that $125 an hour versus if you're just a freelancer working on your system in your house. You know, there's not quite as much money that has to come out of that $37.50 an hour.
Right. And I guess that was my point starting this discussion was you got to get out of the technician mindset and even the empathy that you have for that and think in terms of being a business owner. You're trying to run a business that's going to be profitable and sustainable. So,
well,
anyway.
and that's a good point. I'm glad you said that because a lot of times when I'm teaching, I think people are listening to what I'm saying as that freelancer when that's not what I'm not trying to talk to you as a freelancer. I'm trying to talk to you as a business owner that wants to grow your business. And this is how you have to do those things to be more successful as a business owner in the video production industry. Because guys that make their living freelancing, a lot of them, I mean, they get really pissed off when I start describing this ratio concept. But the reality is, you know, it's real and it happens. And I've been running my business for almost 5 years now with this concept, and I've been doing it very successfully. And as far as I know, every one of my freelancers are happy with what they get. I mean, because it's consistent, it's constant. They know that they're going to have work for me every month, you know, because they're part of my system now.
That's brilliant. I like it. That's a good distinction there. So that's part of our education in becoming business owners here. So let's get back to the topic of ratio. So we've allocated $2,000 out of a $5,000 production budget for editing. What are some other things that we need to think about?
So let's just say, you know, $1,000 of that would be pre-production stuff. You know, whether it's writing a script, planning, you know, whatever that is. So if I was going to, let's just say that just for simple math, let's say that $1,000 is what I have budgeted to write a script for this $5,000 video. Well, then the same thing applies. I mean, I would try to find, and it probably would be a 2-minute video. I would try to find a script writer who'd be willing to write that script for $300.
Okay.
And with shooting, so that leaves kind of $2,000 left for the shoot, give or take. And again, these numbers aren't absolute. I'm just flying, you know, off the cuff here. But typically, in my business, I try to not be on the shoots because it's very time consuming. I can't do anything else to run my business while I'm on a shoot, and it's just not an efficient way for me to run my business when I'm out there. So what I try to do is hire freelance crews. You know, freelance DP, director of photography, to run the shoot for me, you know, and then basically they will hire a production assistant to help them. Most of the crews we run are 2-person crews. And then I try to keep that ratio to no more than 50% because I found that that's more in line with an acceptable rate for these guys as opposed to 30%, because 30% of a day rate is just—it's just not enough to get talented enough DPs to get out.
Well, that would make sense because they're coming in with tens of thousands of dollars of gear too, so they've got a higher overhead.
Absolutely. So I typically, you know, if I'm charging $17.50 for a day rate, you know, I'm trying to get the you know, the DP and the you know, the DP to come in for, you know, anywhere from around 7:25, something like that, and then the production assistant at like 150 for the day. And I will say that it has been a lot easier in my market to make those ratios work than it has been when I've hired people in other markets.
Right. So yeah. Are all of these fixed rates? I mean, when you negotiate these prices, so you're setting the price. You're not setting it for the hour. You're setting it for the project.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, hey, I need a 2-person crew on such and such day. This is what I can pay. And now the other caveat is that most of the time when it's in this market, Chattanooga, Tennessee, the guys that I'm hiring to run these shoots are using my gear.
Oh, okay.
So that's another tip, is that if you let people use your gear, then you can get a much cheaper rate, because at that point they're just charging you for their time and expertise more so than the equipment that they're bringing out of the truck.
Okay, I got you. I was thinking that in the initial discussion about hiring a DP, we were assuming that they were bringing their own equipment.
Right, and yeah. there is the way that I look at that ratio. If it's a complete outsource where I'm just saying, hey, here's a script, go shoot it. You know, typically I want to retain 30% of that rate. So I would pay up to 70% for a total, excuse me, for a total outsource solution. So if $17.50 is the day rate, you multiply that times 70%, you know, now at $12.25 is basically what you're offering that 2-person crew to go out with all their stuff.
Cool. So now we started this topic off with the question with the topic of how to grow with ratios. So where does the growth factor come in with ratios?
Sure. Okay. So keeping it very simple, if I come into the office and I start editing at 8 o'clock in the morning and I leave at 5 and I take an hour lunch, then basically I just billed a client 8 hours, right?
Right.
So 8 hours times 125 is $1,000. So at the very most, Chris Simmons can generate $1,000 a day in billable revenue.
And that's it.
So now let's add a layer to that. Let's say I come in tomorrow, I work for 8 hours in the edit, that's $1,000. And then I hire Carl Olson to also do 8 hours of editing for me, which basically means that I'm generating another $1,000 that day, because Carl is also editing all day for me. And so the total revenue for that day is $2,000. But then I'm paying Carl the 30%, which is $300. So 2,000 minus 300 is $1,700. And now I'm making $1,700 a day instead of $1,000 a day, because I brought Carl in to help me.
Awesome.
Okay.
So when do I start?
Yeah. But then what you guys have to realize is you get to a point where you say, okay, you start having these capacity issues or these marketing and selling problems, because when you're really busy, you bring in a freelancer. And then if you stay in the trenches and you're working your tail off, well, guess what? You're not marketing anything. You're not selling anything. So the next step to growth really is to replace yourself with another person. So you're no longer in the equation in the editing. So you're generating $2,000 a day in revenue with two freelance editors. It's costing you $300 apiece, $600. So now you're making $1,400 a day off of editing, except you're not doing anything that has to do with editing the work.
And what's there not to love about that?
Well, I mean, it's just the key. It's funny, I try to explain to people. They say, well, how come you don't? If it's an important shoot, I'm there. If it's an important shoot, there's no way I couldn't be there. And I said, if I'm at a shoot, the most that I'm making is $1,000 a day, but I can sit back in my office and be the puppet master and generate $10,000 to $12,000 a day.
Or at least, at a minimum, you can be more selective at what you do. Because I can understand some are saying, well, I got into this because I enjoy the creative process. Well, I would say if you apply what you have talked about, you'll have more opportunity to be very selective and do the projects that you enjoy doing the most. As well as you started this discussion talking about, it's not just about the time you spend in the business, but it's doing any, you know, things that are outside the business, like spending time with your family, travel, you know, volunteer work, personal enrichment, all these different things that you can do that's beyond just your business.
You know, you mentioned that point about creativity, and that's a debate that we have a lot with our members, you know, inside the Create group that we have. And it is that debate between, well, are you in it for the money, you're in it for the creativity? And the thing that I always try to get across to people is said, well, at some point, if you don't have the money, you're not going to have an opportunity to be creative because you're going to be working somewhere else. You're not going to be able to run your business or have a business that allows you to do this creative work. But the other thing is that, and this is honest. I mean, if you think about a whole project, if you say I'm in it because of I love the creative aspect of this business. Okay. Well, really think about everything that it takes to produce a video, and then seriously, and be honest with yourself, how much of that entire process actually involves the creative. It's a very small percentage. The rest of it is putting keyframes in place and capturing footage or transcoding and organizing and doing all this stuff. I mean, the actual true creative work is much less than the total duration of the project.
That's so true. And that's been true for thousands of years. You think about Michelangelo and doing the King David. He spent, you know, obviously there was time in the creative process of actually carving the sculpture itself, but he had to line up a sponsor or a patron. He had to go to the quarries of Carrara and personally oversee the selection of stone and having that transported back to Florence. You know, so there's a lot that goes into getting to the point where you're able to create. But anyway, I digress. So growth factor, how to grow with ratio. So this is what I got out of it, and correct me where I may have gone astray. Okay. So what you're doing is you're taking control of your budget, and you're taking control of it by allocating different aspects like the editing, pre-production, the actual shoot itself. So you're establishing the price instead of negotiating. You're establishing the price, and then you find qualified help that's willing to work within that ratio. Okay. And then what this does is it frees you up. See, all your income potential before was totally tied with yourself because you were doing all the work. But now that you've allocated this, you have control of, okay, you don't have to worry about as much about cost overruns and things like that. You know what to expect, and you know what your margins are going to be up front. And by having these, you know, extra people helping you, you're actually increasing your potential to earn your business, to earn money.
Excellent synopsis. I mean, if you sign a $10,000 contract, you know, on the first day that you're going to profit $7,000.
Thanks for joining me on this show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Carl. It's always a blast.